Hello and welcome to another IBM CPO Virtual Roundtable, presented in partnership with Ardent Partners. My name is Andrew Bartolini, Chief Research Officer at industry analyst firm Ardent Partners and publisher of the popular CPO Rising website. I'm also today's host and moderator. Working in concert with IBM, this roundtable is the second of a three-part series where we bring together several best-in-class chief procurement officers and tackle a specific theme and get these industry-renowned experts to share their best ideas, strategies, and practices in what we expect will be a lively and interactive roundtable discussion conducted by phone. Now, today's theme is procurement strategies and best practices to increase business value in 2015 and beyond. After listening to the roundtable, we invite all of you to seek out the supporting materials that will be produced for each session and the entire series. And these materials will be found on IBM's website and highlighted on cporising.com. We would also recommend that listeners who are interested in the topics covered today to seek out IBM's 2014 Chief Procurement Officer Study, which is based on an in-depth survey of more than 1,000 CPOs and senior procurement executives across 41 countries. This is a study that details the strategies of those procurement organizations and how they impact revenue growth and profit improvement. Now, my firm, Ardent Partners, is a research and advisory firm focused on defining and advancing the key strategies, processes, and technologies that drive operational excellence within global supply management operations. Our team has benchmarked thousands of distinct procurement operations across all aspects of their performance, and we produce research that organizations can use to improve their performance and make smart decisions. And finally, a quick word about our sponsor today. With the MTORS acquisition 2 years ago, IBM is a world leader in providing strategic procurement solutions. IBM's offerings are solution-oriented with software, consulting services, process services, and operational best practices. Now let's proceed on to the stars of our show, our CPO panelists. Let's start with Chris Shanahan, Vice President of Procurement at Becton Dickinson and Company. Mr. Shanahan joined BD in 2000 to establish the European arm of the company's newly formed procurement function. In 2005, he moved to the U.S. to lead global procurement worldwide. He also leads the company-wide facilities, real estate, and construction operations for BD's corporate offices and manages its annual spend of $4.2 billion. Mr. Shanahan's current focus is planning and preparation for the integration of Care Fusion, including assimilation of the new procurement team and delivery of third-party synergy savings. He's the co-author of the soon-to-be-released Global Procurement Leaders Handbook. Welcome, Chris. I'm going to come back to you about the handbook, which sounds pretty interesting. Next up we have Bill McNally. He's the Assistant Administrator for Procurement and Deputy Chief Acquisition Officer at NASA. He directs NASA's procurement functions throughout the agency, providing strategic policy, leadership, and direction. He guides and oversees NASA's procurement activities in every area, from programs studying the Earth to missions going into our solar system. He represents NASA procurement to the executive and legislative branches of the federal government, industry, and international organizations. Mr. McNally was appointed as the Assistant Administrator for Procurement in September 2007. Mr. McNally joined NASA in October 2005 as Special Procurement Advisor in the Exploration Systems Mission Directorate. In this position, he provided strategic direction and contract management advice for all elements of the Directorate's portfolio, which included the development of the Ares and Orion vehicles. Mr. McNally was with the Air Force until he retired in 2003, at which time he joined industry. Most recently, he provided consulting advice to NASA as part of the Exploration Systems Architecture Study. He was a senior acquisition manager at two companies where he provided consulting advice and training to federal agencies on performance-based acquisition and acquisition advice to the Pentagon renovation program. During his 26-year military career, Mr. McNally was involved in many facets of acquisition. These included positions as a contract administrator and industrial specialist for the Atlas Space Program, as a contracting officer and manager for the Tomahawk cruise missile, and as the director of technology contracts at the Strategic Defense Initiative Office. As the commander of a defense plant office, he oversaw the contract performance and business operations of a major defense company. He was the chief of Air Force contracting policy and the military deputy in the Secretary of Defense's Acquisition Reform Office. Mr. McNally shared his procurement expertise as a professor at the Defense Systems Management College and as the Air Force Element Commander at Defense Acquisition University. Mr. McNally holds a Level 3 certification in contracting. He's a certified professional contracts manager, a fellow and board of director in the National Contract Management Association. His decorations include the NASA Exceptional Service Medal, the Air Force Legion of Merit, the Defense Meritorious Service Medal, the Defense Superior Service Medal, and numerous Joint and Air Force Commendations Medals. Welcome, Bill.
Thank you, Andrew.
And last but by no means least, I'm pleased to introduce Dan Carroll, Vice President, Integrated Supply Chain, Global Operations, and Client Services Procurement at IBM. In his current role, Dan is the primary procurement interface to clients at all levels. He and team are responsible for early engagement on pipeline opportunities, strategic alignment, and interlock cost savings initiatives and adoption, as well as positive client satisfaction. In addition, Dan is responsible for all procurement operation centers around the world. He runs supplier diversity, procurement transformation and strategy, as well as acquisition and divestiture support. Dan leads a team of more than 1,000 procurement professionals worldwide, supporting more than 3,000 client engagements per quarter with contract values that exceed $20 billion per year, $20 billion. He and the collective team deliver procurement contribution and savings that exceed $7 billion per year. Previous to his current role, Dan was the Vice President for Global Planning, Supply Assurance, and Inventory. In this capacity, he was charged to optimize supply and demand and delight IBM clients every day with consistent and reliable delivery while balancing financial performance and inventory liabilities. Prior to this role, Dan was the Vice President for Global Manufacturing and Customer Solution Centers. In this assignment, he had the responsibility for manufacturing plants around the world with annual hardware output of more than $15 billion. He was the general manager for IBM Ireland Limited and director for supply chain operations in Dublin, Ireland before managing global manufacturing. Prior to Dan's tenure in hardware operations, he spent 8 years in global procurement. He was director of strategic sourcing supporting global procurement outsourcing clients around the world, director of for software sourcing managing a spend base in excess of $3 billion, country procurement manager in Toronto, Canada, as well as a global commodity manager and sourcing council chair. Dan joined IBM as part of the Supply Chain Leadership Program in 1998 and received his MBA with emphasis in supply chain management from Arizona State University. He has an undergraduate degree in finance, and prior to working with IBM, Dan worked in the financial services sector. Welcome, Dan.
Thanks. It's great to be on.
Yeah, so as everyone listening in can tell, we have a really fantastic panel. And we've also got a fantastic agenda. So, you know, I've given a higher-level overview of this panel, including your bios, but to get the conversation started, what I'd like to do next is ask each of you to take just a few minutes to provide a little bit of context around your role today, your organization and its mission and scope, and how it operates within your company, your enterprise, and department. Chris, let's start with you.
Sure, Andrew. So if we talk about scope of what we try to look at is, you know, the spend, you know, you mentioned the spend of 4.2 with the integration that's going on right now, with CareFusion, that's going to pretty much increase the spend by about 50% on a worldwide basis. So really we have remit across the full network. Covering all spend and the processes, which includes how we pay. So if you look at procure to pay as a process, so that's sort of the remit, spend, link, and the process, along with facility operations, real estate, as you mentioned, and the whole construction management, which we call it, we look at it as a process as well, from the design to getting ready for operations that we hand over to the operations team. Our primary focus on procurement is really getting after professional spend management across the full spend on a global basis to ensure we have competitive and innovative supply base, supported by user-friendly systems and processes that are very transparent, that we can sort of track and trace for the organization. We're really trying to engage our customer base to ensure that we have strong supplier management that drives will drive innovation, really around risk and risk mitigation, ensuring maximum value back into the organization through various governance bodies we've established, and then really around capability of the organization to ensure that we're continuously monitoring and assessing the capability linked to business needs. At the end of the day, we're here to benefit, you know, to drive benefit back into the organization, whether it's hard dollars or sort of soft value that we track for the company. So that's sort of a high level broad remit. On a worldwide basis, we just shy of 500 associates that would touch the space from a transactional through to, you know, category management, strategic sourcing, supplier management.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So Chris, I've known you for years, always considered you a thought leader. Sounds like you've got, you're doing a little bit of writing as well. Maybe if you want to care to comment, tell us a little bit about what's coming up in this handbook of yours.
So myself and one other, we've put together a procurement leader's handbook, which really is anyone that's going new into a position as a chief procurement officer or head of procurement. We've tried to put a handbook together that goes through the various sort of areas that you would cover as a leader. And we ask sort of 2 to 3 questions at the start of each chapter. And through that, we're trying to sort of just share ideas that we would have from experiences. And then some tools and techniques to help any new leader, for that matter, or existing leader, in terms of procurement and how broad and deep you must go across the various elements of procurement. Looking forward to being published. Hopefully, we'll get that out this year. We've been working on it for about 2 years now at this stage, but it's gone through the editorship at this stage. So we're hoping to see it get released in the coming months or so.
Well, that sounds like an exciting project. Doing a fair amount of writing myself, I know it can be tough at times to find the time, but we'll be looking forward to that later this year. Bill, how about taking a minute to tell us a little bit more about your role, your team, how you engage the business in 2015?
Okay, so I'm part of a NASA, which is a government agency, which has a mission of doing scientific research, aeronautics research, space technology research, and then exploration and space operation research and development. We have 10 geographic centers that perform these missions geographically across the country. We also have a platform right now, the International Space Station, that's doing research in low Earth orbit with an international team of astronauts and researchers. So the mission is high risk at NASA. You know, we do one of kind missions, and my role is to put out the contracts and the financial assistance to support the mission. Financial assistance are grants and cooperative agreements. We do about $800 million a year of that. And then in contracts, last year we did about $15.5 billion of contracts at NASA. So the spend at NASA with contracts and grants is over 80%. So
mm-hmm.
my responsibility is to put out policy guidance and then do a risk assessment and get involved in high-risk acquisitions that the centers are going to do, and then approve those strategies, be involved in the source selections, or be involved in major negotiations with some of the suppliers. I also wear a hat of responsibility for acquisition regulations. So being a federal activity, we basically centralize our regulation into what's called the Federal Acquisition Regulation. So that's a consistent regulation for industry to do business with the federal government. So I'm one of the three signatories of that regulation, along with the head of procurement for the General Service Administration, GSA, and also the Department of Defense. So it's kind of an interesting role to play, not only supporting my agency in the contracting that my agency requires to perform its mission, but have a responsibility also for the policy for the overall federal government. So it gives me a good perspective, not only for my agency, but across the federal government.
Yeah, no, I would say definitely, and we're gonna come back to you in a minute with a few questions about that. Dan, how about telling us a little bit about what you're doing at IBM today?
Sure, happy to. In IBM, our spend base is about $50 billion annually. We spend about $30 billion a year running the IBM business. And then the other $20 billion is spend that we manage on behalf of clients. So there's customers around the world who have outsourced elements of their procurement process, or in some cases their entire procurement operation to IBM. We take that spend, leverage it with the spend that we have, and provide it back to our clients as a service. So all told, we take over $50 billion a year in the marketplace. We work with a base of about 17,000 suppliers around the world in over 100 countries. We've got about 3,000 employees in the procurement operation, doing everything from strategic sourcing, contracting, through the operational aspects of the function, and purchase order processing and everything else. So really end-to-end procure-to-pay operation. And our mission is really to work with our world-class supply base to deliver hardware, software, services, solutions that are innovative and provide the IBM company a competitive advantage, right? And we do that by, managing costs and risks. We do that by enabling revenue growth, by putting, competitive solutions into what IBM is selling in the marketplace and competitive pricing into how we run our internal enterprise. So a big team, a big operation, strategically important to IBM and where we're heading as a corporation.
Great, great. So listeners can clearly see, right, we have three distinguished leaders, storied backgrounds, great experience, but also managing a lot of spend, right? The team, the group here is managing more than $75 billion. With teams that have more than 4,500 procurement professionals managing that spend. Now, I'm not sure if you guys have read it, but IBM recently published the Chief Procurement Officer Study, and that grew from participation from more than 1,000 CPOs from global organizations with annual revenue in excess of $1 billion. So it's a big global scope of the report. What the study found was that procurement organizations are under intense pressure to support enterprise business goals in 2015 and beyond. All right, so let's look at the top pressures that each of you have as leaders of procurement organizations, whether that's savings-focused or quality-focused, process-focused, risk-focused. What I'd like to hear from each of you is, what are the top pressures facing your procurement team in 2015? And Dan, maybe we'll start with you.
Yeah, sure. I'm happy to start here. So, a few of the pressures I think you'd find or expect to find in any procurement organization, right? We're being asked every year to deliver more savings to the business. The financial pressures that are out there across the global corporation are significant, and we're being looked to more and more to help IBM improve profitability, earnings, and help really deliver the financial model of the corporation. So certainly financial pressures and pressure to generate more savings, but more and more we're being pressure. There's pressure in the system around risk management, compliance. All of the nuances of managing risk in a global corporation that does business with as many suppliers and as many countries as we do can be stifling. And so, the ability to get our arms around all these elements of risk and how you effectively put a risk management and compliance program across our end-to-end supply chain is a significant pressure that we face and one that we're stepping up to. And then the third thing I might highlight here is just that we are facing pressure every day to become more agile, to act with speed. You know, the days of, taking weeks or months to put a big procurement contract in place or execute a process are long gone, right? We need a process and a procurement team that can be agile, that can respond to the needs of the business, that can move quickly to capture market opportunity. And, that's a big challenge when you try to run a very controlled process, very process-driven organization. Got to define and think about every day how can we make that more agile, how can we infuse speed into the equation. So I would say those are some of the top pressures we're seeing and facing.
Yep, and it sounds like they've shifted a little bit. Bill, maybe looking at, understanding the broad reach of your responsibilities, look just within NASS and the acquisition organization of the procurement team there, and what it's what are the top pressures it's facing in 2015?
So the pressures we have is our agency starts off being given a budget with a responsibility to execute certain mission, high-risk missions. My job is to how can I, since I'm over 80% of our budget goes into contracts, so how can I get more buying power for our organization? We don't do a return on investment like a company would where, if you can sell a product and build it for a lower cost, you increase your return on investment. What I need to do is, from the budget we get, look to ways to save money through our acquisitions, either through, say, smart strategic sourcing contracts or certain consolidations, or just go out and, really do a good job in negotiations, leverage competition, so we can get our products and service at a lower cost than what we have been spending. That way, the agency then has more money than it had before to put back into some mission things, take care of some risk things that they weren't able to take care of because they didn't have a budget. The other thing that we're really looking hard the last year or two is reducing the transaction costs of our contracts. And so what a transaction cost is, for instance, if you go to buy stock today and you want to buy so many shares of stock, you have to pay a transaction cost to get those stocks. Well, the same thing to get under contracts, I need to get a proposal from industry, and that's costing me money because either directly or indirectly, I'm paying for those proposal costs. And internally, it's costing us time and money for our people to work on getting requirements on contracts. So we've been really working on streamlining our procurements, where we're trying to ask for less information in our proposal, trying to reduce our lead time in procurements, trying to get work under contracts without using what we call task orders. So I'm not paying for task order proposals, and really looking at some of the requirements we're putting on contracts that we're spending money on. Are they value added? So, and then the last thing is, since I've got 10 geographic buying office, how can we establish best practices and really share knowledge across the centers? So, we're trying to be a consistent procurement office for industry with consistent business practices. But when people come up with a good practice or best practice, we spread it out to the other offices so they start implementing the same best practice. So bottom line is, I'm trying to increase the buying power that NASA has in its budget. I'm trying to reduce the risk of our procurements, of our missions through the procurement actions we take. And in a lot of cases, I'm trying to look to see how I can reduce the contract risk that we have based on a high-risk mission that we have to support.
Great. So Chris, let's pose it to you. Tell us about the top pressures facing your procurement team in 2015.
I think Andrew, some of the themes here are going to be pretty similar to what's been shared so far. Okay, so I think clear top of mind right now is sort of the integration that we're in the middle of, and with that we have some initial synergy goals that we need to drive for 15, working with the businesses as we integrate. So there's some clear financial goals that we have linked to that. On top of delivering the existing, what we'll call legacy sort of goals that we would have with both companies. Okay, so we're really trying to make sure we set ourselves up. And our fiscal year ends September 30th. So basically, we're going to get a 6-month stretch here of delivering back into the new company that's being formed. I think the word agile was used, and I really do think agility in what we're doing around the process and making it user friendly is really critical. So we are spending a lot of time working across the process to get a user friendly what is a system generated or process generated approach to the procure to pay process on a global basis. Risk, risk is always top of mind here, and again we're spending a lot of time and have been around risk and risk mitigation, and we'll continue to build on that. Innovation and supplier innovation, it's one of these areas that we'll talk about. That's how do you add value back into top line growth with the business, and what are the things that we can do as a function to enable more thought leadership and new ideas coming in from the supply base, which drives us to this whole area of capability. So new capability is something that we're continuously looking at, linked to what the business requirements and business needs are, both globally or within a business environment. So each business has some unique needs, and what's coming out and functions, and what's coming out is that our remit as a function is that we need to adjust and ensure we're bringing in the correct capability to actually support the evolving change, which comes back to the associates. So we have a focus around building capability to support these changes. So there's a range of topics that we have in here that we're focusing on for the company.
No, that's great. Everybody there, right? It sounds like the word agility, right? You just see it more and more in conversations that we have with chief procurement officers. I mean, certainly financial performance is, you know, always front and center within any organization, but, you know, it sounds like there's a lot of shared focus this year as well on supply risk and risk management in general, which I'll do the plug now. Our topic for our third CPO virtual roundtable is actually risk in the CPO. I'm going to move ahead to the theme for this today's roundtable, right? So, and that's linking procurement directly to business value and results. And I'll reference back again to IBM's CPO study, which showed that leading procurement departments are more likely to focus on enterprise-wide priorities to deliver greater value. And again, that's our main topic today, right? What are the strategies and best practices that leading CPOs and procurement leaders use to drive business value? So maybe I'll start here with Bill. You know, can you describe some of the successful approaches that you and your team have used to link procurement operations and results with broader enterprise goals? And then let the other guys follow on or add to that. But go ahead, Bill.
Right. So I would say one of the areas that I think we've done really well is in the area of IT services, where about 5 years ago we put together a program, and it's really important that we called it a program that looked at the various IT services and what requirements belong in an enterprise perspective and which areas stay within, say, an individual program office or in which area stays within an individual center. We called it the I3P program, and that got briefed up all the way to our administrator, got briefed out to all the center directors and such, and then we moved forward with the actual acquisitions. And what it covered is a new seat management contract that provide seat management across all of NASA. Before, it was done by a contract that each center was allowed to buy their own seats and wasn't centrally managed by the enterprise. And then we set up a contract for the enterprise for business applications, and then a centralized contract for our networks, and then another enterprise contract for our web development, web needs within NASA. So we took four new contracts that were enterprise contracts, where before they were done by individual centers. We just weren't leveraging the type of buying power we could get. We didn't get the consistency we needed, nor we were at risk from a security perspective, because people weren't within their own central security network. So that was a big thing, and that's something that we executed those contracts, but you know, some of those contracts had challenges in implementation, so then we stepped back and put together a best practice lessons learned team, where now we did some modifications with some of the suppliers, and going forward. So the lesson that we got there was, you know, you plan an enterprise approach, you go and execute it with industry through competitions, and then you award the contracts, and of course, you learn from some of the problems that occur, and you step back, you rectify those problems, and you move forward to leverage the best that you can for the agency. Saved us millions of dollars, gives us more consistent IT services in a more secure environment. So that's one thing I would say that we have leveraged. And then what we're going to try to do is leverage the same kind of thing for some of our other requirements within NASA.
Got it. Dan, I don't know if you had any thoughts, or maybe we'll start with you.
Yeah, no, this is an important topic for us, and you know, we put it under the banner of engagement, right? And engagement is one of our key priorities for us, and how we really link to the stakeholders and deepen that partnership. And you know, what we've found is that you know, our ability to really be successful and drive an optimal outcome is dependent upon our ability to really have a deeper engagement and relationship with the business. So there's a few things that we're doing in this space that I think are really good and are really starting to unlock new value, right? Number one is we are working with all of the different business units across IBM on their development cycle. So we're engaged as we've always done this for a long time in hardware, right? Hardware is a very traditional model. We have a very, very defined development cycle. Procurement's involved in the early days. We help qualify suppliers and do all the pre-work. But we haven't been as engaged on the solutions front. And so as IBM sells more solutions in the marketplace, we've embedded ourselves in the solution design phase of how we go to market. And that helps us to really understand the demand before it's on us, and we lose opportunity to really fully leverage that. So getting engaged in that solution design phase up front in the cycle, moving further ahead of the actual demand to get a solution optimized, a partner in place, and a supplier that can deliver the value and the savings that we're going to need for the particular program or the offering is important. The other thing that we've done is, you know, in order to deepen this engagement with the business and unlock that new value is we've actually put, very experienced procurement leaders into the business units. We call them PBMs, Procurement Brand Managers. And these Procurement Brand Managers are part of these business units. They sit in their staff meetings. They go to their strategy sessions. They understand the strategic direction of the business. They understand the financial pressures, the financial commitments, and they're at the table and representing procurement early in those discussions so that we can fully align ourselves to supporting the objectives of the business unit, right? As opposed to being a kind of a back office, wait for the demand to hit us, we're engaged early on, we understand the strategic priority, and we're at the table driving the solution, right? And the third thing I just mentioned there is our engagement model is really changing with the notion of transparency, right? We are focused on kind of being very open with all of our data, with all of our information. We're applying analytics into how we capture our spending and our savings information. And in the past, a lot of that information was held in procurement. We kind of held it very close to the vest. We didn't want to share a lot of that detail. But now we enable that. It's out there in dashboards. It's available real time. Clients can see it. They can understand their spend profile, their strategic supply base, their savings, where their lost savings are as well, right? Where we've gone outside of maybe the core supplier or the core strategy, what the associated lost savings looks like. That's all real time. It's enabled. There can be alerts put onto it. So our clients are becoming much smarter about how the money is spent and how the transactions are happening. So it's, you know, it's about early engagement. It's about deepening the partnership with the business. It's about transparency. And that's really changing how we engage and helping us to unlock new value.
Great. Chris, maybe without giving away all the entirety of the forthcoming book, maybe tell us about some of the successes that you've had, that you and your team have done to link what you're doing within procurement to the broader enterprise goals and objectives.
Yeah, I think there's a theme that you can build up here on what's been shared so far. You know, if I talk the two areas that you know, the engagement piece and team focus is really critical. So with every you know, for everything that we look to drive on a global basis, there's cross functional teams that are stood up to drive strategy, and they have to have clear executive sponsorship through that process. And the team makeup is really important for us. Okay, so it's going across businesses where there's common spend, and also it goes across the globe. So you know, you're calling on and the regions to be represent here. So that drives the actual discussion around what are the true business requirements. That's needed, and that's something that we would go back in every year to reassess and to ensure that we're driving strategies that are linked to the requirements and that have a tangible outcome across that category of spend. Then there's some specific areas that, you know, again, specific to a business, we have some programs that we have in place, and it varies by business, so it can be anything from, we got one program which is focused on what we call cost to win. Part of that is retaining business, part of that is growing business, and basically you break down the different factors that drive cost. Working with the business, and it's not only procurement costs, it goes across the whole product costing activity. Or there's another one we have, which is really what we call zero escapes, which is really linked to quality and the quality of product that we supply out to our customers, but then how the supplier impacts that. Again, it's really focused on identifying key areas that we need to actually improve on to support the end customer, okay? So there's a cost-to-win, zero-escape type of approach. But everything is team-based, okay? And it builds on that engagement theme and being clear about who does what and across the process and make sure there's no confusion around what we're trying to deliver, which is really the satisfying the end customer through everything that we're supplying.
Got it. Maybe I'll stick here with you, right? So, you know, we're talking, you know, you guys, I think everyone pretty much hit upon agility as you know, one of the areas of focus. And really it has been a, you know, key topic for many CPOs for a number of years, right? The need to make business decisions and sourcing decisions within a business cycle, not simply at the beginning and end of one. But another, you know, buzzword, right? Say it's actually more than a buzzword today, but was innovation. And, you know, innovation means, you know, there's so many different types of innovation, right? There's innovation within a process. There's product innovation. There's innovation that exists outside the four walls of the organization. And so maybe starting with Chris, you know, when you think about innovation, you know, what is your team doing as it relates to innovation for both the procurement operation or within the larger company in 2015, and you know, is innovation a key executive priority, and how is your team engaged and involved in that overall?
Sure, I think innovation is something that everybody sees as an important priority to help. Not only top line growth, which is where, you know, one part of innovation will come from, and for us is where does the supply base support the businesses around product innovation, and then there's bottom line improvement, which is really around process innovation and process improvement. Okay, so those words can be sort of intertwined in some ways around just general CI activity. So we are, you know, we're naturally, is it a company push on this? There's been a company push on this for many years, okay, and it's really supporting that top line growth play, bottom line contribution. You know, specific for us, we got a range. We try to touch on a range of things. So if I look at the product side, you know, we have again, comes back to this cost-to-win concept, but part of that is really how do you drive supplier-based innovation. So we've run some supplier days where we get key suppliers in, working with our R&D associates, and sort of trying to look at where we can actually drive some improvement. And you can, people use innovation intertwinedly between there's pure, truly new product innovation, okay? And then there's sort of, I'll call sustaining or continuous sort of line extension when we come to products. So we'll have the supply base come in and help us in these two areas. One is what's truly new, new concept, new idea, working with the R&D and business community, and then we have look at line extension and how do we drive some incremental CI as it relates to the, to our current product offerings. So we do have some teams that, that actually are engaged in this. We're looking to continue to build that. As we go into this integration with CareFusion, we're really going to stand up a dedicated team that's really going to look at supplier development and supplier innovation as we move forward. I think the second part to this is the process improvement and process innovation, and that's really looking at people, the people side, the process side, technology systems as it goes through that. So it comes back to the user satisfaction around using the process. Whether it's I want to buy something that's in what we call an acquisition leverage environment, or I want to engage a supplier that's going to bring something new to me, how do I go off and do that? So we're continuously looking at our processes and how we can innovate and use some technology to enable us to be agile for using that word. Okay, so we have a number of different streams that we do have, and we'll continue to grow, and we'll actually put some clear capability and stand up a structure as we go forward as well to actually accelerate some of these ideas as well. So we're really trying to drive this now. In terms of success around it, it's mixed, okay? We've had some really good, strong success with a number of businesses and that we can talk to, and some that we haven't. And then when you sort of assess the actual, what went wrong in that, it some of it comes back down to the user, to the actual individual that we engage in. It comes back to that sort of making sure you have the right people that are in place to drive it. Some of it comes back to the supplier. Some of it comes back to we're just not clear on what our expectations are, okay? So it comes back to the specification and what we're looking to actually deliver back into back to the customer in many ways. So there's a mix in here as we look at it. But we have a reasonable program that we're looking to expand on. And really getting the right supplier is critical for us as we go forward.
Andrew, maybe I can add here. This is Dan on.
Yep, please
comment there just on this notion of supplier innovation. One of the things that we did in IBM last year is we hosted these different sessions. We call them supplier think tanks, right? And we went to a lot of our major countries around the world. And we actually brought in some of our, key suppliers. We brought some of our key IBM stakeholders, and we put strategic initiatives, growth opportunities on the table, and just had some very interesting, great dialogue around how we could partner together to make those topics a success, to accelerate, right? So we put IBM growth plays on the table around cloud, analytics, mobile, social, security. We put these topics on the table. We brought the IBM experts, stakeholders, technical leaders in. We brought our key supply partners in. And we had some great discussion around how do we partner together to accelerate, enrich our offerings, take them to market, make it a, even more compelling value proposition. We had a lot of very interesting, good success stories out of that on new ideas on how we might leverage our partners, how they could bring innovation to our offerings, and also new ideas on how we could go to market successfully together and grow revenue. So I think that's, that opportunity to tap into supplier innovation is big, and I think we're just scratching the surface. But when you think about 17,000 suppliers we're dealing with around the world, as a procurement team, we've got to find a way to tap into that community and pull the best out of it and understand how we can put together what's strategic to us and we can make that a real win-win.
Right. I mean, I often say, right, that in 2015, no business, no company, no enterprise can afford to go it alone. Companies are only going to be increasingly reliant upon the successes of their own supply chain, and it's really incumbent upon professionals like yourselves, leaders like yourselves, to drive those conversations and to and to really push forward. Bill, on the topic of innovation, you know, coming from the NASA perspective, you could probably talk for hours on the topic. You know, maybe just a minute or two, though, as we.
Sure. Yeah, you know, it's part of NASA's DNA, you know, and as I mentioned earlier, so much of what we do in our mission comes from our suppliers. So a few things that we do, and it's federal-wide with research organizations, but we really try to leverage our small business innovation research program. So we take about 3% of our R&D spend, and actually it's set out for innovative contracts from small businesses. So you put out some broad areas of interest, get companies to come in, and it's really seed money for these companies. Many of these companies are just trying to get in to get some research with the government to cover some of their costs, probably not all of their costs. But what we try to do is leverage someday some of these research innovative ideas are going to be suppliers for some of my prime contractors who are building some of the big systems that we have. The other thing that we really try to do is make sure our contracts are not barriers for innovation from companies. So we've got to really think about what is the right type of contract to have or a solicitation to use to bring in companies that are traditional suppliers to us, but non-traditional, companies that have never done business, say, with the government, and now want to do business with the government, provide some innovation that could be good for NASA, but could be good for some commercial product or service they want to have out there. So we've had some really success in the transportation world. You know, you've heard of the company SpaceX. That came, that company never did any government business probably about 4 or 5 years ago. And we were one of the first agencies to do business with them. And now, of course, they're providing a transportation system to provide crew to the International Space Station, but also supplies goods to the International Space Station. And that's, again, we brought in innovation from this company that wasn't really a traditional contractor to NASA or anyone else in the federal government.
Right. No, that's great. So this has been, you know, a great and deep conversation, really drawn from three distinct procurement leaders coming at it from different perspectives, but you know, all told, you know, touching billions of dollars of spend and thousands of procurement professionals and tens of thousands of end user stakeholders. You know, so I think this brings us to the end of our CPO virtual roundtable, which was focused on procurement strategies and best practices to increase business value in 2015 and beyond. I'd like to thank our panelists today, Chris Shanahan, Bill McNally, and Dan Carroll, for joining us and sharing their thoughts and strategies and approaches. You know, this is, I'd also like to thank our sponsor, IBM. And I would certainly like to invite and welcome all listeners listening in to visit the IBM site to find out more about the series and more about their services and solutions. This is Andrew Bartolini. I'm the Chief Research Officer at Arden Partners, and I'd like to thank everybody for listening in today.